My friend Denise moved to Alabama when she was in the first grade. And her first day of school, she was on the playground, and it was a moment of relief and a bit of excitement when another young girl approached her to welcome her, she thought. But the other little girl simply said, "Are you an Alabama fan or an Auburn fan?" Being brand new to the state, my friend Denise said, "I don't know." To which the little girl said, "You have to choose." Startled, my friend Denise just simply said, "Alabama, I guess." And that sealed her fate to be a lifelong Crimson Tide fan. We live in a world that tells us, you have to choose. It seems like everything is posed as a choice between two polar opposites. Are you a dog person or a cat person? Coke or Pepsi? Are you a morning person or a night owl? Mac or PC? Do you side with Nicki Minaj or Cardi B? You have to choose, people. It's as if everything is a question of either or. You are either for this or this. And nowhere is this more true than in our over-politicized world. You are either a liberal or a conservative, Democrat or Republican, Fox News or MSNBC, pro-life or pro-choice, a gun nut or an anti-Second Amendment. I mean, just pick a topic and there are two clear sides we're asked to stand on. We live in an either-or world. Every day, in multiple ways, we are asked to choose. And everything seems like a dichotomy. So what happens when we don't fit on either side? What happens when we want something different than the two choices we've been given? Or what if we lean towards one side, but there's something about the other that still appeals to us? I mean, believe it or not, there are people who own both cats and dogs, and they live in the same house. Crazy people, but there are people like that. And I don't understand people who, when they're at a restaurant and they order a Coke, and the waiter says, "Is Pepsi okay?" they just say, "Sure." Who does that? You're supposed to slam your fist on the table, march out of that restaurant in righteous indignation, and say, "I'll never eat at a place that serves Pepsi." Too much, maybe? Maybe so. But I do believe that we don't always fall on one side or the other. Sometimes we're both. In our either-or world, where is the place of both and? So over the next 6 weeks, we are going to seek a greater depth in our spiritual life by embracing the tension between two seemingly opposite ideas. This series will unravel these false dichotomies of our either-or world and reclaim our roots as people of both and. And our overall hope through this is that we will find greater understanding of the Holy One, who is both fully human and fully divine. So, second to the gulf between Democrat and Republican, there is probably no sharper divide in America than between those who call themselves progressives and those who call themselves evangelical. And I would say that because our political parties have co-opted those terms, some people think that is the same divide. Now, progressives define themselves as those who embrace the rapidly changing world and shifting demographics. They see themselves as advocates for justice and fighters for the world's most vulnerable, the poor, the marginalized, the oppressed. They want the world to progress from systems that keep us stuck in outdated and harmful ways of life. Evangelicals define themselves as those who want to preserve the cultural norm of a faith-based society. Those who believe our way of life is better when lived by biblical principles. They hold fast to the biblical mandate to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the best of how they define themselves. But that's not how they would define each other. Because of our either-or culture, they see themselves in the extremes. Evangelicals see progressives as those who have no standards or boundaries. Anything goes. And they believe the progressive agenda is to do away with belief and faith altogether. They are anti-religious. And progressives see evangelicals as archaic and narrow-minded. They're peddling fairy tales of faith and only trying to preserve the power of rich white men. They only see the world as those who are going to heaven and those who are not. And the biblical mandate to spread the gospel is used to control. Now, these are the extremes of both. But even in the extremes, there's some truth. Now, I usually fit more comfortably on one side, but if these are the definitions of which I must choose, I find myself swimming in an abyss of uncertainty. Because I've got news for both sides. The justice that progressives seek is actually a biblical mandate. And it's deeply embedded in the narratives they deem fairy tales. And the title evangelical comes from the word evangelism, which simply means to spread the message and teachings of Jesus Christ. That message of Jesus is more about confronting the oppressive systems of power and advocating for the oppressed, the sick, and the poor than anything else. Now, I'm not saying they are the same thing. I'm simply saying that they may be closer than we think. And that there may be room to be both evangelical and progressive at the same time. Both and. I mean, personally, it's no secret. I wear the progressive label more comfortably than evangelical. But as someone whose life is dedicated to standing up here week after week and proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ, why should I have to reject being labeled evangelical? And all of us who claim to be people of faith, who passionately believe in making God's love become tangible, isn't that evangelism? And at the same time, if evangelicals get really serious about the gospel they seek to preserve, they must be honest that it's a pretty progressive message. To be both and doesn't mean you have to buy what the other side is selling whole cloth. For me to claim to be both progressive and evangelical doesn't mean I have to look to the poster child of modern-day American evangelicalism, Franklin Graham, and agree with all he's espousing. I'm just trying to rip the term evangelical out of his hands and say, you don't get to define that word for me. And at the same time, he should be able to snatch the word progressive from me and say, you don't own that one either. It's unlikely and a little weird, but it's true. Now, what I'm not saying, and what this whole series is not, it is not to say that we can't have clear opinions or stand firmly in what we believe. Or that we can't stand against a worldview that is destructive and harmful. We're not saying that we should all agree, or that we have to water down our opinions and find some compromise in the middle. It is simply to reclaim parts of our identity and the language that describes it,
that has been stolen by the polarization of our society. It is about standing in our own truth, not the truth that was determined for us. It's about discovering gray and nuance and complexity. It's about, like Jesus, holding the tension between two seemingly opposite things. Now, we've chosen these 8 verses in the 2nd chapter of Philippians as our guide for this series. And in these verses, Paul is writing to the church in Philippi. And from this text, we can infer that there is some disagreement in that church. But Paul's call for them is to be of one mind. But this call to be of one mind isn't a simple everyone get along and agree type of statement. He's not saying pick a side and fight it out. And he's not saying just believe what the other side believes. Instead, he says, let the same mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. Let the same mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. And this isn't some trite, what would Jesus do trope. Because he says, Jesus was in the form of God. Yet he was born in human likeness. Jesus holds the tension between human and divine in his very being. And from that we see that God is not either or. To have the mind of Christ is to be both and. Sometimes we jump into these polarized labels out of a deep need for belonging. If we say we are this, then we must belong to this group, this tribe, these people. We must be one of them. And there's nothing wrong with seeking belonging and finding our place. We are hardwired for connection. But when our belonging is only grounded in either or, we deny a part of ourselves. We cut ourselves off from being open to another truth that might live in us. We cut ourselves off from other parts of other people. Seeking the mind of Christ is searching for a deeper sense of belonging found in a greater sense of self. It is seeking a love that supersedes all the tension. It is a love that can hold the tension. That is to be a people of both and. Several years ago, 2 prominent Christian leaders came together to write a book, and it launched a new faith movement. Shane Claiborne was seen as a progressive leader. He was young and cool and radical. He was known for his rejection of capitalism, where he lived in community with others, and he made all of his own clothes by hand, and he protested on Wall Street. At the start of the Iraq War, he led a group of people to Iraq to stand in the middle of the war zone where the bombs were being dropped to protect the innocent. But because he did all of this out of his deep sense of faith and his commitment to Jesus, he felt he didn't fit the label of progressive, at least in its most extreme understanding. Tony Campolo was a Baptist minister and a highly sought-after speaker and author to evangelical groups. But as his spiritual journey progressed, and as he particularly developed relationships with LGBTQ people, the title evangelical didn't seem to fit him anymore. Both Shane and Tony struggled to find their place in either being labeled progressive or evangelical. So in 2012, they came together to write a book called Red Letter Revolution. And the idea of this book is that our faith practice should not be determined by what camp we fall into, what ideology we hold, or what side of the spectrum we agree with. It should be determined directly by the words and teachings of Jesus, which in many Bibles are printed in red ink. Thus the title, Red Letter Revolution. And this sparked a movement of people who call themselves red letter Christians. And some of their theology and stance on social or political issues may seem conservative to some. And others may seem progressive to some. But by following the red letters, they are seeking the mind of Christ. A love that holds the tension. Sometimes we label ourselves and others, and it is empowering as we claim who we are. It helps us see some of the beauty in our identity. Sometimes labels can polarize us, and it keeps us from connecting with one another, or even keep us from connecting with a part of ourself. You were given a label today. It was in your bulletin, if it didn't fall out on the floor. It was a name tag. And now I'm going to give you some time to reflect on a label that you have placed on other people. Or maybe a group of people you reject. Those that get under your skin, that maybe make your blood boil or are an irritation to you. Maybe it's a different political party. Maybe you're a baby boomer and you think all millennials are lazy or are entitled. Maybe it's another race or ethnicity. Maybe it's people who live in a different part of town you think is bougie. Maybe it's as simple as you are a dog lover and you think cat people are crazy. But I want you to write the name of that group on your label. And then we're going to give you some time to bring those forward and stick them on these posters. And these posters will stay before us throughout this series as a reminder to prayerfully contemplate on what it means to be people of both and. Not that we have to accept what those people are selling whole cloth, but that maybe part of that lives in you. To seek a deeper understanding of the one who is fully human and fully divine, who holds the tension. And so I invite you now to write your name on your label and to bring it forward to stick on the poster as you feel led. Let us be in a time of prayer and reflection.